Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
720 WGN, I'm John Landecker. They got to give me somebody extreme to do this program because you knew I'm a non-linear thinker. And that's why John Hansen is here. Good evening, John.
Hello, John Records Landecker. How are you tonight?
I'm extremely everything.
Oh, wow.
I'm in the extreme 360. I'm 360 extreme.
Boy, yes. That sounds like fun. I'll take a little bit of whatever you're having. So
I await with great anticipation the stories that you have this evening.
For extremely Landecker news.
Yes.
I tried to find four stories for you, John. Each one... in a word, sums up a little bit about who you are.
It does?
This will make sense as we go along.
Oh, boy.
But when I think of John Records Landecker, I think of nice, first and foremost.
Oh, thank you.
So you want a nice story first?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm working at Block Club Chicago, as you know, and the listeners do.
I love the Block Club, as you know.
You do. You've been a big supporter since literally day one when we started, John. And I went back through the last couple weeks of stories to find some fun ones. This one's nice in honor of how nice you are. This comes from the old Irving Park neighborhood. And you know how some neighborhoods and communities really get tight with the male person, or they start to get to know them because they give you smiles along the way. And you just like their friendliness. Well, the old Irving Park neighborhood has come to rally behind veteran mail carrier James Tate. He had a stroke in May and obviously was then pulled off the route, and he's recovering still and slowly making his way back, hopefully soon. Well, the neighborhood came together and neighbors rallied, and they've raised $20,000 to cover his hefty medical expenses. Now, he doesn't live in this neighborhood. He just works through this neighborhood.
That makes the story even better.
Right, and most of the people that he interacts with, it's a couple minutes at most, John, probably more like a couple seconds a day. That's how nice he is and how great he's been, not only to the local residents, but a lot of the small business owners, who are sometimes lonely in their shop waiting for people to come. He makes conversation with them, makes them feel better about their business and what they're doing. So they started a GoFundMe like so many people do, but $20,000, and they went ahead, and he's getting better. He is recovering. He went to Shirley Mobility Lab and has been doing much better. He's made nearly a full speech and movement recovery. And so they decided to get together and present him with the increased checks. At first they raised 14 grand, then they raised another five, then another two, and they gave him all this money and check form to go for his bills. And he's just blown away. And they did a front porch celebration last weekend, John, on Friday. A whole crew of the neighborhood came together, and they decided the kids should hand over the last $2,000 that they raised just to kind of pass that along to the children. And I think that's so wonderful, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It's fantastic. You know, you got me thinking about people who delivered the mail in my neighborhoods growing up. And I got to say, I didn't have the kind of relationship that these people do with this guy. But, you know, it was good, and they were very, very friendly, and we would always leave something in the mailbox at Christmas.
I
think this is fantastic.
This is above and beyond. You know, I grew up in the suburbs and live in the suburbs now, and I know my male guy or gal, and, you know, and we left a few stepping stones for them so they could cut through our garden to get to the next neighbor's house, because, you know, they don't have to go all the way back down to the sidewalk and all that.
Yeah.
And you got to get to know them. You see them in the neighborhood, and they're friendly. And I think that's probably how most of the interactions are. But he's just, you know, really endeared himself for years. He's been on the route 10 years, which is a while, but not like forever. But he says it's been fun to get to know the kids in the neighborhood, see them grow up. And he's just a staple of the neighborhood. And hopefully he'll be back to the roots soon. And everyone welcomes him there. And he just got some money to help pay for his bills now.
Do you know what he was doing before he became a postal worker, by any chance?
I don't. Do you know?
No, I don't. But I mean, he's been a postal worker for, 9 or 10 years?
Yeah, he's been on that route for 9 or 10 years.
Oh, not on the route.
So I wonder if he's been there longer. Yeah. That's a great question.
Yeah. Because he's such a great guy. I mean, the post office should hold him up as an example for everybody to follow.
They should.
Me.
I hope they read this story and give him a little extra love. And, hey, you know, when I think of mailman, though, I think of Mr. McFeely from Mr. Rogers. Speedy delivery.
Indeed.
Now, we'd raise some money for Mr. McFeely if we needed to. I'll tell you that much.
Oh, without question. I'll be the first in line.
Right.
You know.
So that was a nice story. Are you ready for another one? This one
always,
another aspect of yours that I appreciate, especially when I listen to group chat.
Uh-huh.
You're a little dirty, John Records Landecker. Well, I guess you're cast. It's more Ashley, but you indulge it as host. The conversation's getting a little dirty.
I wouldn't say dirty. Maybe an entendre here or there.
Double or triple entendres, if you will, and still well within the FCC guidelines.
God, I hope.
Usually, and so this one is dirty in a gross way, but it has now been 22 years and 2 days since the Dave Matthews bus incident over the Kinzie Street Bridge. And if I'm sure everyone knows by now, but they decided to unload quite literally their bus waste. The bus driver did. None of the band members were actually on the bus when this happened, John. And it hit a tour boat. And there was a trip reporter on the roof of the tour boat as well that was part of the deluge of dirt. A date which will live in dysentery, if you will.
Very good.
That wasn't. Let me give credit. That was Clint Worthington, our reporter, who came up with that one.
That is a great line,
right? Isn't that? He did great. Anyways,
that is a great line.
So we wrote a big story 2 years ago for the 20th anniversary. But John, we did a podcast for Block Club Chicago and talked to some advocates, the river advocates, and we've talked in this show as well about the growth of the river. 24 years ago or 22 years ago, it was still not a place you'd swim in or kayak in. And they say that incident helped really spurn on new activism, because it was like, why did a bus driver even think that this would be an acceptable thing to do? Right. But that was the reputation the river had, right?
Yeah, that's a great thought process. So, that's absolutely right.
So the advocates say they made a lot of hay over the incident and tried to pivot it to advocacy, and they say it really paid off. And one of the many reasons why the river is much better now ecologically and even for swimming events, only if it's, you know, sponsored. And they did that one swim they did last year and this year, but they say that it can be traced back to this Dave Matthews event. So how about that?
That it is fantastic, but you have to think of something that you did 22 years ago, and you're still, people know that you have done whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And in this particular, this is going to follow him forever.
Dave Matthews was at a Cubs game this year recently. And everyone on Instagram, when they posted a video, they're like, hey, you're going to stop at the Kinzie Street Bridge?
See, there you go.
I know.
There you go. Right.
So that's
not going away.
All right. So we got nice and dirty covered, John. So there you go.
Well, then let's take a break and find out what other categories there are.
Okay. I like it.
We'll be back on 720 WGN.
Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
720 WGN, John Landecker and John Hansen, who's here with the Extremely Landecker News. We've done a couple of stories that John says are quote-unquote nice. So what does that leave, John?
Well, we did nice and dirty, two adjectives I describe you as. But dirty, not so much, but you know what I'm saying. I know this might seem a lot like nice, but I'm going to go with sweet next. And, John, I think you're a sweet guy. You're not only nice, like you're congenial and you're friendly, but when I listen to you, you have a very sweet, kind heart. And so this is a sweet story out of the Bucktown neighborhood. And you've seen these little free libraries before, John, right?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, right. Exactly, where you take a book, you can leave a book too. You know, it's a great way for people that can't afford books or want to just, you know, spread the love of their books to other people. Well, this looks exactly like a little library, but instead, Liz Tierney has installed cookies inside. Her and her partner affixed to the catalpa tree near their house. It is cookies, and they're really well baked ones, and she stacks them in on Saturdays and Sundays, and they are free. This is not a business venture of hers.
Right, I get it.
It is a public repository for her confectionery creations.
Listen to you.
Again, I got to give credit to the reporter. That was Quinn Myers who wrote that. Thank you, though, John. I'm going to stop giving the reporters credit and just take all of it from now on. But she bakes about 100 cookies every weekend.
My gosh.
They run out after a few hours. And people scoop them up. And again, they're free. And she just says she wanted to spread a little whimsical joy with a whimsical library of cookies. And just hopes that obviously, you know, it fills you up with a little sugar and some good vibes. But also she just thought it would be whimsical. And I love that word because, you know, sometimes the summer in the city, a little whimsy is what we all need as we walk around. I just love that.
Well, it's a fantastic story. And a couple of things strike me. First of all, trust of the neighborhood.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you're actually going to put fresh cookies out on, in this, I guess, whatever we call it,
yep.
the tree side cookie jar,
right.
That anybody walking by can have it. I mean, that's like, you have to really like the people in your neighborhood. You really have to trust to their activities and know that they'll, you know,
just take one.
Yeah, well, yeah, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the rule, she says. And she says honor it, so.
Okay. Well, I think they if it's been going on for a while, they probably do. Do people replace the cookie with a new cookie like they do with the books?
The books. Yeah. That might be problematic, maybe. Well, that would be fun to find out, especially then be able to stack up who's a good baker or who isn't. But yeah, maybe then you're going to start having some people just go get an Oreo and replace this home baked one with an Oreo. No one wants that. So
no one wants that. Yeah. Absolutely not.
I mean, I do want an Oreo. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying, if you're going for the bakery, the baked goods.
Yeah.
But she's done it for about 4 weekends so far. She puts up the ingredient list too. Lets them know that it was produced in a home kitchen. That means that she doesn't have to pass the public health inspections and
oh
all that.
God,
well, just
yeah.
She's covering her bases here, people.
You bet. Good idea.
She's just like, hey, this is just for you to try. Here are the ingredients so people know in case that they have an allergy or something, which I thought was very smart. And this past weekend, she did pecan, toffee, and oat cookies.
Oh, my God. That
over
sounds
the weekend.
Fantastic.
I know. So
yes.
You'll have to just search for every catalpa tree in the city, John. That should just take you in the Bucktown neighborhood. That narrows
that
it down a little bit.
That won't take long. Come on.
So that was sweet. You ready for the last one?
Sure.
Crazy.
Crazy.
You got a little crazy in you, John Rickerslander,
oh,
don't you?
I concede that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't know if you've been following this story of See No Evil, the boat that washed up on North Avenue Beach. Did you hear about this? This was going on mostly last week. It's been a saga that was actually started in the middle of July. One boater, his name is Lenny Klinger. He's got this boat, and it's not like a fancy yacht or anything.
Right.
It's just a boat that would be fine on Lake Michigan, but there was a terrible storm. Oh, boy, we narrow down the days of those. It's been almost every other day, John, it feels like.
It
was on July 18th, and he was really taking on water. The engine died. He had people on board, his friends. They set a little the big bright light that says, hey, we're in trouble, Coast Guard. And they, the flare, there it is.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, it's a flare.
Yes,
that's
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not a boater. And the Coast Guard came, and they were towing it, and they were like, this is too dangerous. We have to cut the line. And they were on the Coast Guard boat. They were safe at that point, but they couldn't tow it in. So they cut the line, and they're like, it'll end up where it ends up. And it ended up on the most famous beach in Chicago, North Avenue Beach. It washed up there and was there, John, for like 3 weeks.
You're kidding.
They couldn't
I missed
get it
the
off.
Story completely.
Oh, it just got,
how'd I do that?
Oh, it just got stuck up on the sand, and it was sitting there, and it became a tourist attraction because it's like the people are just laying out, and there's this boat. And the guy, once he found out where it was, he slept on it every night, John, because he was so worried about someone figuring out a way to do it. And, oh, the internet was awash.
Man, oh, man. I have to go back and take a look at this. This is fantastic.
The pictures are at blockclubchicago.org. They tried everything, John. They were digging tunnels. They, one day, like 14 people tried to lift it off the sand and into the water. It didn't work. And, of course, as the internet does, it was giving him a bazillion suggestions. And the guy was like, clearly no one knows how heavy a boat is because none of these work. But they finally, on Saturday, got it off. They had a big tow and excavator that were able to move the sand, dig it all out, move the boat out. And it was swiftly being towed back to Diversey Harbor because the engine doesn't work, as you remember. And Klinger docked it back up. And he says he's very lucky. He was mad with the Coast Guard. I mean, they rescued you, buddy. I trust them that if they say you had to cut the line, they had to cut the line.
Yeah, absolutely. They're the people in charge. You know, put up a sign that says, site of Castaway 2.
Oh, yeah, there were volleyballs there, John. And what was that? Yeah, they named the volleyball. That's right. That's a great movie. That's an underrated one.
Yes, it is.
But it, all's well that ends well. The boat's off the North Avenue beach now. But it was quite a funny story. And we posted that story. We ran with it a couple weeks ago, John, that it was there. And people just ate that story up. We love our quirky little Chicago stories. And that was a good one. That was our crazy one.
This is why I turn to Block Club every single day.
Right.
Because there's always going to be something that nobody else takes the time to take a look at.
And we
except me. Yeah. And then I use it on the air.
And we
it's awesome.
It's a symbiotic relationship, John. We appreciate you, and I know you appreciate us. And right before you go, I just want to mention that we launched today a back-to-school thing we're doing with Open Books in Chicago. They're a nonprofit. And they are doing some incredible work in the city, making sure that there's book nooks everywhere at laundromats in the city. They work with CPS schools. They just make sure that kids have access to books and also the right way to learn how to read books. They teach parents how to teach their kids how to read books, all this great stuff they do. Well, we're teaming up with them. If you go to blockclubchicago.org and you go to the donate button, or something's going to pop up as well, for $20, you get to provide one book to a CPS student. And that donation also helps Block Club Chicago, our nonprofit newsroom. So we're kind of teaming up. It's a 2-for-1 donation. $20 gets you one book. Of course, you can donate more or less if you don't have the means to do 20. And if you don't have the means to do any, that's okay, too. Just sign up for our newsletters. That helps us out at blockclubchicago.org. But let's get some books to kids as they go back to school and help out our nonprofit newsroom, if you don't mind me saying so, John.
Well done, Block Club. Well said, John. Hanson, thanks for being with me, and I look forward to the next time we get together for Extremely Landecker
News. Thanks, John.
Thank you. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.